Hey, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Brendan, and I think I'd like to be a fantasy barman.
I'm Pippin, and I miss the fop.
I can't have a fop in all of my stories.
Why not?
Yeah, it's more on you, Al.
I'm Alex, and is Evil Wizard King too many titles or not enough?
And I'm Kat. Listen, I'm just a humble barmaid trying to make my way in this world. I don't know what y'all are doing with this hero business or whatever. Listen, do you need a beer?
Yes.
Making our way through the world today sure does take a lot.
The gang fights the evil overlord. All right, today we're talking about an original story idea by Alex. So if you want specific content warnings about the things we may talk about, well, you're just going to have to check out the show notes because we don't know. And you can just go over to nostorysecret.com. I don't know if we need to mention that part, but it's kind of rote at this point. But yeah, the summary, as provided by Alex, is a fantasy set after the hero has defeated the evil overlord of some fantasy nation, taking his quote-unquote rightful place as king. But the management of a country is not usually in the hero handbook, and so it gets fucked over by the incompetence and exploitative interests of other nations.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Good job breaking it, hero.
Someone had to reference a trope, and it wasn't going to be me.
It is one of my favorite tropes.
I didn't know that was a trope.
Good job breaking it, hero.
It is. Oh, it's a common one.
Mostly because it's also my favorite trope.
Yeah, that
to
is
just
a good one to say.
Say.
Well, can you guys give me some examples of other ones? Just because I'm certain, like, I'm just not remembering.
The entire plot of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah, that's the anime, guys.
Oh.
My example was going to be The Legend of Zelda.
That's a video game, guys.
Harry Potter Book 5.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. I got you. All right. I'm there.
I love how that I was able to just say this.
Specifically for the audience, the part in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, that's what that was, is Harry fucks up Royal by getting everybody into the Department of Mysteries and thus causing the death and the heartbreak and stuff that wasn't going to happen unless he acted. So,
oops.
Good job breaking it, hero.
But he also did, by doing so, he also revealed Voldemort is active in the world again. So, you know, take the good with the bad.
It's like a very small silver lining.
You lost a godfather, you gained a mortal enemy.
That sounds nice. I mean, really, you end up being super famous at the end, so hey.
So, what is that when you were born super famous?
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so that's good job breaking it, hero. And I'm just going to say it one more time. Good job breaking it, hero.
So, I think the overall plot summary makes enough sense. You know, running a country is hard. So, let's go into the characters, shall we?
Yeah.
Who you got, Al?
It's shorter than last time, because, you know.
So we should start with the fop. You have a fop, right?
We can have a fop.
Yes!
It's in the broom closet. Oh, wait, that's a mop. Ah, shit.
Okay. Well, no. Oh, we'll have the fop. We'll just spin it and keep watching it turn and turn and turn and turn. Oh, wait, that's a top.
You guys suck.
Anyway.
I'm making such a face at you guys. You can't see it, but it's there.
Oh, Pip. So, Alex, talk us through who your characters are in this universe.
Right.
And by extension, the audience.
Ooh. Well, the first one up is actually the hero. Oh, it's actually the barkeep of you know, the tavern or the pub or whatever it's called.
Tavern. Fantasy. It's fantasy land. It's a tavern.
Very well.
A taverna.
And in the story summary I provided you guys, it gave a little story snippet from their perspective. Our first character is Mav.
I already gave him a nickname.
Yeah, they go by Hey Mav. The barkeep of Dragon's Gullet, a popular bar in Fantasy Nation name here. In fact, the evil wizard king, Zolmak, used to visit their bar incognito ever since Mav was a kid. You know, they brew their own ale, keeps an enchanted cudgel behind the bar.
Woo!
A no-nonsense personality and a cynicism born from years in the service industry.
And that's Mav himself?
Yeah, that's Mav's personality.
Okay.
Now, is Mav the, is Mav the hero that fucks it up?
No.
No.
Okay.
Mav's just a bartender, I guess.
Yeah. They've been keeping their head down since the invasion, and Mav refers to it as the as an invasion. But the rising cost of grains has left them without any ale to sell, leaving the fate of the bar up in the air, spurning them to action.
Al, you mentioned the invasion, which is what Mav calls it. What does everyone else call it?
Oh,
And what happened?
Yeah, what happened in this, well, I guess, overthrowing of the evil king?
Yeah, I guess we probably should have started there. The evil overlord, the evil wizard King Zolmak, has been overthrown by the hero Oryk and freed the land after a century of despair.
Whoa. Whoa. Yes.
What?
Pip? Whoa. Whoa and wailing and despair.
Oh, whoa. I see.
Yeah.
So I guess that played out kind of like your typical epic fantasy then?
Yeah.
Mighty fights and
prophecies, a sacred sword, a ragtag group of adventurers just going behind enemy lines to free the people and depose the obviously evil wizard.
Zolmak. Or Voldemort, depending on who you ask.
Yeah. He summons demons. He uses powerful spells. You know, evil wizard stuff.
Not all wizards. hashtag not all wizards. So, Oryk, the hero, led the people to defeat the evil wizard king, Zolmak.
Yep.
There was much rejoicing.
Much rejoicing.
But now, the cost of, you say, grains, and I assume other plants and produce has gone up.
Actually, I was reading that elsewhere in your story snippet. I guess the big final confrontation was kind of like Oryk doing a spirit bomb almost and using the local plants and the life energy and all that to
in the final battle with the Wizard King, the evil Wizard King. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's this full death. Mr. I'm sorry, Dr. Evil Wizard.
Esquire.
Esquire.
The third. And the hero Oryk used a spell that called upon the very plants to grow as if 50 springs have passed, as to rise up and bind the Wizard King, who was, you know, flying about casting spells at him.
Wizards.
And it turns out his actions have consequences.
But this all happens before the story starts, right? Is this the sort of the you know, the prologue, as it were?
Yes.
Okay. So where other fantasy novels end, that's where yours begins.
Yeah. But, you know, what happens when you suck up all the nutrients and water from the ground in about half an hour?
Bad shit. I'm going to assume. I'm no ecologist.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
That I'm no ecologist.
Yes. Yes.
And do any of these people in what I assume is an agrarian society know how to farm in less than fertile ground? I ask you, do they know how to bring water out of the desert?
Well, the land wasn't always, you know, fertile to begin with. So, you know, the little they had is now gone, so.
But the price was worth it, right, guys?
Yeah.
Right?
Freedom
we
is worth...
We can't feed our families, but okay.
But we're free. Oh, God. That's a bit too on the nose.
So that does that cover the bit of the story chunk that we kind of skipped over? I mean, Auric now is in charge.
Next on our character sheet, we have Auric the hero. Auric grew up on a farm, not knowing his true destiny as a lost heir to the throne of Fantasy Nation here. Until one day, a divine oracle came to him, telling him to take up arms and become a hero. After many battles, he learned to wield a sword and use great magic, and use these skills to defeat Zolmek. And next on our character sheet is Auric the Farmer. He doesn't really understand much else beyond beets and swords. Knowing only how to herd goats and grow beets, while also being a daydreamer before becoming the hero, he can't really... speak to a varied skill set. And there isn't a tough yet eccentric old master of the executive arts to teach him how.
Oh, the executive arts.
I'm just imagining, like, this ancient monastery, the wizened old executive. Observe the power of the Gantt chart.
Pivot tables.
Take this graph from my hand.
Then you will be ready.
Yoda in a suit. set meeting you will.
Whoa, never do that ever again. No, no, no.
Double booked me in the room you did.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, no.
Engage in active listening,
God.
You must.
No, no, no. I'm using my safe word, guys. No, I don't consent to this.
I'm making this a character.
Oh, my God.
Nightmare.
So far, he has been relying on the advisors lent to him by the other Fantasy Nation, but he's starting to think that they don't have the nation's best interests at heart.
What? You mean another country might not want to be completely selfless with regard to the ruling of your country?
Yeah, weird, what? Right?
What?
I am shocked.
And appalled.
And appalled.
Yeah. Like, he's starting to get, like, a sense that, hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Because he does know how to grow beets. And
the trick to it all.
Beats, by God.
The famine has been going on for a bit, and they haven't listened to his irrigation suggestion.
Oh.
Ooh, that's the clue.
The one thing he actually knows about.
So does Auric start going to this this bar that the that Mav runs?
Well, yeah, he visited that bar when he first invaded, because you always have to visit the bar in the evil capital.
A very good point.
Fantasy pub crawl.
Yeah, you ask about any kind of, you know, hints about the adventure, right?
Yeah.
Right?
It's called information gathering.
You go and you find all the NPCs, and you ask them a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And because the barkeep always has critical information. The barkeep never gets killed.
Which the is bartender never gets killed.
Next, we have the evil wizard king Zolmek, who came to...
Originally, we have the original...
What?
Originally, we have the evil wizard king Zolmek.
Well, yeah, true. This is his... This is kind of his obit.
Oh, so he is dead?
Yeah.
Look, Marley was dead to begin with, so was Zolmek.
That's a good way to start your story. Zolmek was dead to begin with.
Oh, he never went lich. He probably should have went lich.
Maybe that was what he was trying to do.
Anyways, the evil wizard King Zolmek came to power after the Viper's reception.
In caps, the Viper's reception.
Yeah. The hottest new dance club.
Which was the coronation of his cousin. And
this coronation had everything.
It had wine. It had conspirators. It had poison. Yeah. At the end of the night, all of the entire line to the throne was dead.
What?
Listen. And these things happen.
And that's how he became king. And I mean, everybody knows that he's the one who poisoned everybody. I mean, because he's the one who didn't get poisoned.
That's logic.
Yeah. Last man standing is the one who did it.
Yeah, yeah. But in actuality, it was a result of all the successors poisoning each other in a lethal case of overbooking assassins.
And really, I think this just goes to prove you do not hire that assassin firm. They should have been more on top of that.
They should have been cross-checking that, doing a duplicate check. Unless the Assassin Guild was stationed in the other country.
What? Well, this was 100 years ago.
Who said 100 years is a short time when it comes to nations and bickering?
True.
I will say, though, silver lining with that evening, two of the assassins fell in love.
And their descendant was in the hero's party. What?
That probably. Actually be amazing.
But no, he survived because he happened to be on his health kick that week. Again, like, on the that year, and it was like, no wine, no booze, no ale, no...
So he's a fucking square, is what you're saying.
He gave it up soon enough.
This kale smoothie's as good as your wine. What are you talking about?
I put apple cider vinegar into all of the choices on the mimosa bar.
And like,
it's just that, healthier.
That is why they call him the evil wizard king.
And he's standing there. Everybody's poisoned, like drinking a smoothie, and like, man, I kind of wish I was them. Yeah. And as a powerful wizard in his own right, he thwarted any future assassination attempts on him, and resulting in the longest-running head of state in several centuries.
Well, good for him.
Right?
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounds like a pretty decent guy. You know, apple cider vinegar and the mimosas aside.
Yeah.
And the demon summoning notwithstanding.
Look, sometimes you just gotta summon some fucking demons. I mean, well, I'm saying.
You need a standing army. And the choice is between demons summoning demons or a forced
draft. Or taking people from their homes.
I mean...
So here's a question related to Zolmak and Oryk, the hero, and all that. Was this evil overlord relatively popular in this nation, as it were?
Well, it's a nation full of demons and demon worshippers, Bran. I mean...
Is that a yes?
Yes, he was popular, but not according to the narrative. The narrative inside the narrative. The propaganda narrative. And it also doesn't help that he started wearing a forked goatee. Like, come on, guy. Never.
He has bad taste.
Yeah, he even has that evil cape thing, that one that has the mantle that sticks straight up to your ears.
I love those.
You know. The evil wizard heard a cape.
Well, okay, so leaving aside fun with costuming. So he had propaganda against him, but speaking purely as a, let's say, a historian 6,000 years in the future, was he a bad ruler?
No, he was actually a good ruler. The people who liked him, the country was had a thriving economy. I mean, the main export was rare mineral, also that it could... So they had a good trade relations, and the demons integrated well into the society.
So literally, the only reason a hero came to defeat him was because the hero themselves were a legitimate heir to the throne, or a closer heir to the throne, and then some like watery tart told them to go and take over Britain.
Yeah,
it's shocking how often that happens.
So now we're dealing with the start of the story. We're dealing with the aftermath of, oh shit, maybe like, yeah, oh sure, this was my prophecy, but now I have to deal with actually making this country work when it was already working.
Yeah, it was already functional.
Yeah, and the people are pissed.
people are pissed, that people are afraid.
They don't know about all the power struggly things. They just know that they can't put food on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also know that that the Inquisition's in town.
Oh, what's the Inquisition?
What a show.
Wait. Talk to me about the Inquisition.
Well, you know.
Is it related to the Watery Tart?
Well, you know, there are demons in the Country Cat.
Oh, demons.
And so, of course, you have to say, and like all these holy knights, all these clerics with a high level of purifying magics, you know, to exorcise all the demons.
So, are these inquisitors, are they from the rival nation?
Well, wouldn't you know it? They are.
Weird.
I gotta say, this rival nation really has its act together.
Yeah, they know how to propaganda.
That's their main export.
Was the propaganda against the evil wizard Zomak, or whatever the fuck his name is,
yeah.
Where was it really originating?
Well, like, kind of explains it with King of Other Fantasy Nation. What a coincidence that the lost heir of a neighboring nation that had several rare mineral deposits happened to be living in one of his villages.
Weird.
What a coincidence. And what a coincidence that the Oracle just happened to come to this young lad. This young lad who only knows how to
raise beets.
Herd goats raise beets. It's a daydream.
And the older mentor showed up just in time and disappeared. Just in time.
I totally want that older mentor to show up later on in the story. And is just a drunk.
Or has to be, I taught you everything you know, but not everything I knew. Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Okay, and then there's one last character I think you
Two more characters. The Inquisitor, which is, you know, Evil Pope? Evil Pope. She wants nothing more than to banish its demonkind to the depths of hell, even if they can't be exorcised. You know.
Like normal.
You know, because she has the power of righteousness on her side.
Huzzah.
You know, I worry, because if it was a 100-year reign under Dr. Evil King, Evil Wizard King Esquire.
The third.
The third. You know, then the demons have been around for a while. They've integrated into society. What if they married and had children? Is she going after the children?
I think we all know the answer to that one, Pip.
I don't want to know the answer to that one.
We all know the answer to that one.
Look in your heart, Pip.
Well, what happens when you try to exorcise something to the pit where they had been spawned?
I went next door. What the fuck?
Oh, I was born here. Huh. Or, you know, to the midwives.
This keeps happening. She's really busy.
And finally, we have Sally, cook and barmaid at the Dragon's Gullet. Ace, daughter of the succubus general of Zolmak's army that was defeated by the hero. Just trying to live her best life.
Hey, Sally.
Wait. So she's part succubus and also Ace?
Yes.
I love her. It's okay that you don't have a fop now. I mean, if you can figure out a way to work the fop in. But failing that, Sally is amazing and I love her.
Pip, you know what?
Yes?
Do you want a villainous fop?
Yeah, kind of. How hilarious would that be?
Is the Inquisitor a fop? That seems like a thing.
I think the Inquisitor is very busy filling the role of evil pope. As Alex said, so I am not sure she has room to be both evil pope and fop. That's double dipping.
Yep, and those are the characters, and that's the story so far. I have some other stuff going around in my head, but trying to tease those out is going to be like pulling out a tooth.
Mm. Well, then let me poke at it really hard with a stick. What drew you to this idea for a story?
This idea first popped up into my head like when I was in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
So a few years ago?
Yeah.
And then things happened, you know, around.
I started having some other ideas and, this started to, coalescing.
Yeah.
Like, I knew from the start that I wanted the, you know, main character to be the barkeep.
Okay, so the main character is the barkeep.
Yeah, but there are...
Not Sally.
Okay. Pippin wants to make that very clear.
But not Sally.
Yeah, no. Sally is the barmaid.
Ugh. She can be whatever she wants to be.
She's a strong, independent woman.
Succubus.
She can be both. Don't limit her like that.
She's living her best life.
She is, and I love her for it.
I guess my question or thought involving this story.
Yeah.
I guess we want to have the nation of demons essentially be the good guys, I guess. So Zolmak has to come across as being overall not a total douchebag, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can make it that sort of a slow reveal.
Yeah, I'm wondering how to do that. Like, love the exposition, I think, can come from a...
Well, here's the challenge. If you have your bartender as the main character, then Mav there already knows that the prior kingdom was good the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it becomes kind of an ass pull to be like, oh yeah, by the way, Auric, hey, guess what? The prior regime, yeah, they were better than this. Bye. Huh. I should have mentioned that earlier.
Well, also, there's a lot to be said for the reversing or working through the results of a trope. And so Auric, they're having to be like, oh shit.
Am I a bad guy?
Am I a baddie?
I was supposed to be a goodie.
You could... This is moving far away from having Mav be the main character, and I'm sorry. But it could be like the reverse of the adventure, where Auric goes from being the great hero in the castle with all the riches, and works his way through trials and tribulations and eventually going to the bar to get information. Works his way back to the farm.
I would love that.
Where he figures out that he's happy.
This farm, this is where I was happy.
I mean,
bye.
You know what I could do? All I had to do was herd goats and grow beets. And then I could spend the rest of the day daydreaming. I was a daydreamer.
But he could fix the whole, you know, drought famine thing with his farming know-how and thus still save the day in the end.
For relative values, and then Sally takes over as ruler.
Yeah! Because she's half succubus, she ties the demon and the human population together. What?
And her mom was a general of the armies, so she also knows the nation is, you know, run.
Okay, I have... This is me, like, suddenly going off book. So what if her mom, or even Sally herself, was in the army previously? This is like her second life, like her second career. And what if she was like the quartermaster? And so then Auric shows up like in disguise and being like, yeah, so hey, if you were king, wow, it'd be really tough. And then, you know, Sally's like, yeah, if I was king, man, I'd like treat it. I would be sitting here looking at my grains. I'd be looking at silos. We have a famine coming up. You got to think about it. And he'd be like, oh, so that's... Can we get some paper?
Can you repeat that?
I'm just going to get some paper, some pen. Can you just start making some notes here? And that's how Sally starts to figure out when that starts happening in the actual, like, the king starts saying this stuff. Whoa. When the king starts saying this stuff, she's like, hey, wait a second. I said all this stuff to that random stranger in the hooded cloak.
How odd. And I bit my tongue on that word, but he pronounced it the exact same way.
Weird.
So I like this idea of Auric sort of fumbling his way back to happiness and back to, you know, a life that made sense to him.
My thought on that similar subject, on stuff that I'd tweak, it's not necessarily a full reversion back to the farm and all that, although that might be a happy ending for the character. I do want to have responsibility be a theme, as well as the moral should be, hey, surround yourself with good, intelligent people, and that's how you can work through this stuff, because maybe Oryk here was your typical fantasy protagonist before. It's like, come on, fair friends, we shall defeat the bad guy. Ha ha. And now actually having to run the kingdom, all the rogues fucked off, and yeah, everybody else has gone to the four corners of the world, back to their day jobs or whatever, and yeah, he's stuck here.
The cleric stuck around as the Inquisitor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Look how well that turned out.
Nobody ever liked the cleric. They're just there because they could heal. But yeah, no, I am hesitant to have a full reversion, I guess.
He could be the farmer king. You know?
Could be, yeah.
Like, practical shit. Like, okay, so it's going to be hard for a few years. Like, actually, like, there's no magic fix for what he did. Like, this is it. So they start doing things like taking apart the Grand Palace, selling off the parts so that they can get grain from neighboring kingdoms so they can feed their people. Like, really, and he can, like, he's not, you know, and this is where his background becomes useful. He's not a, like, I mean, he is hereditary nobility, but he doesn't come from that. So he doesn't have, like, these are my castles, this was my palace, I was meant to be here. It's like, well, I gotta feed the fucking people, you know?
It kind of makes me think of that bit in Parks and Rec, where Leslie needs to clean up the river.
Mm-hmm.
Or where she wants to clean up the river. She just says, tells the people, this is where my office, these are where my office hours are. If you want to find me, this is where I am. And we can talk about whatever you want to talk about while we're doing this thing.
Mm.
Yes.
But how do they deal with the threat of the fact that, you know, the other fantasy nation has kind of shown their hand and is also, you know, what's the word for occupying? Yeah, is currently occupying.
Here's the thing. They don't have the military might that Zolmak's nation does, because, come on, they're a nation with demons in it. They probably have sick-ass magic powers, right?
If they were allowed to join the army, yeah, they would.
And that could be one of the things at the end is like, hey, the demons, they can go and, or half demon, half human, whatever, they're allowed to go and kick some butt.
Whoa.
Because I have to imagine that if this other rival nation had to do all this subterfuge and all that, that probably means that they don't have that impressive of a military might.
True. That's one of the convincing arguments. And so that king of other fantasy nation and gave to the hero.
Yeah.
Of course we're only here to help. What more could we do? I mean, really.
And it was only a ragtag group of heroes that faced the evil wizard one-on-one.
1-on-4. Or 1-on-5. Yeah. Really.
Yeah, so I think that it's like a kind of weird state militarily, because like the Inquisition's here, so the half demon population's just worried for their family currently, and so they're off, you know, I wouldn't say in hiding, but trying to lay low. Yeah. But then maybe at the conclusion of the story there's a rallying cry and all that jazz, as hey, this city of, or this country of demons and humans and all that goes and unifies and stands up and, I don't know, forms a militia. I don't know.
You know, like you do.
Like you do.
Like you do.
Yeah. I still want to find a way to keep Mav.
Well, do you want Mav as the main character, or do we follow Oryk? Because here's the thing. You could kick off the story with Oryk goes to a bar. And then what you get is, here's an interesting way we can set this up. We have Oryk going to the bar, and then we get stories of how the things used to be through the bartender, giving little interludes as we go through today's story. Because we don't want to have a big info dump at the beginning of the story of like, oh yes, the hero Oryk did all this, yeah.
Well, unless you frame it as a, you know, a minstrel tale or some shit. It depends on how deeply fantasy you want to get.
Well, The minstrel trail at the very beginning, that's the propaganda piece.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we want to be able to also fully explain...
Bard.
Everything.
Bard, you didn't write your own lyrics?
No, man, I just perform.
Bard's gotta eat, man. Bard's gotta eat. Well, wait, okay, so Alex, let me ask you a question. Why do you want to be a main character? What draws you to that?
Because I kind of started with them. Kind of that, and also, you know, I like them.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So the reason why I ask is because it's figuring out why you want them can help us figure out how to keep them.
Hmm.
Tell us or the character dies.
Pretty much. Because otherwise, I'm sorry, like, it's a kill your darling situation.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a good, like, he's a fun side character. But what does he do to be a main character? What's his change? What is the thing, like, okay, let's say if you wanted him to be king. In which case, Oryk needs to be, frankly, not improving. And the barkeep's
got to be...
Maybe
kind of a douchebag?
Yeah, the barkeep's got to be the one who stands up and's like, well, this asshole did it. Might as well do it too. And so, like, either he storms the castle, or, frankly, he starts a guild with the other tavern keepers.
Merchants?
They unionize for the first time, and then suddenly they become a... What's that thing that country was back in medieval times that was really cool that nobody else was?
A mercantile nation?
Something like, yeah. It's not a theocracy. It's not a monarchy. It's a burgers thing where businesses are in charge.
I know what you're meaning.
And I mean, that's how you turn him into the main character. He can't just hang around, he can't just be, like, fucking around doing nothing in this story, because otherwise this isn't the story, this is an anecdote.
Hmm.
So the question is, what do you want the end of this book to look like?
I don't know, guys.
Alright, and that's allowed too.
No, you have to know every answer to all of our questions,
instantly.
Every single one. What is the name of his mother?
I guess what feels good for you?
I do admit that, you know, can't have a... I do admit that, like, can't actually keep the barkeep as main character. Bleh.
I mean, you can if you do this other stuff. That's the thing.
Yeah, but...
You can if you go this other route.
But I also don't really like that route.
Ah, then that's a reason not to do it. Because remember, writing is not just, unless you're being paid for it like fucking Chris Evans in Playing It Cool. Writing, do whatever you need to do to make it so that words come out. And if you don't like the conclusion you're heading towards, you're not going to write it.
Yeah. A pity.
Well, I'm glad I squashed your dreams.
It was a group effort.
Can at least keep them as a side character.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, totally. He's a great side character.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
I have a question.
Yes?
Is this a comedy?
Ooh.
It can be.
Because we're being funny about it, because we're funny people. she says, humbly. But I'm not sure if that's how you meant it.
I kind of do want to write it funny, because otherwise it'd be just sad.
Many people would support a sad choice, but... Is that what your heart feels?
Probably.
Oh, God.
Make us cry. Make us cry.
I can make Pip cry reliably. I can some...
How dare you?
Do it on right now. Do it right now.
I take Kat down with me.
The orphanage.
No, that's gonna get Kat.
Fuck you guys.
But pinning down, not genre, but whether it's a comedy or not, might be able to help with some story choices as well.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tone.
Indeed.
Tone and also theme.
What?
All right, Alex, what would you say the theme of this is? Or what is are you interested in?
Like, I have a kind of an idea of it. And you know, it's kind of still nebulous.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most of it's, I'm bad at themes.
That's okay. Most people are. That's why there's like unending essays on this topic. Who is Chuck Wendig? actually has an amazing essay about themes. And he says that most of the time when people say, oh, what's your theme? He's like, it's death. Like, no. That's not a theme. A theme is a question that then you, the author, provide an answer to. So, you know, maybe the theme here potentially could be, no, it's not a good idea to go in without a game plan.
Yeah. Like, not only did Orin not know how to run an entire nation, but he also didn't know that the nation didn't need saving.
What's important here is research. Talk to your local librarian.
Yes. I think also something about trust and who to trust.
Yeah.
Might be a good one.
Oh, like what I mentioned earlier with the surrounding yourself with good people.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your entire adventuring party has left to go off to do other things. Who else is left? Some of these people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or why you need a good HR department.
Also, I admit, like, part of what's really fun for this concept for me is I actually really like competence porn. Mm. And I really like people sort of going through what you would actually do to survive something.
Mm.
So, you know, like, what is the process for fixing the bullshit situation that Oryk has gotten them into? You know, that's part of why I was like, yeah, and then they take apart the castle and they sell it off. I really like that nitty-gritty stuff. This might, however, be part of why I like insurance, so take this with a grain of salt. I like inventory management. Woo!
Nerd.
Yeah, I am. Here's how you would actually run a magic store. Oh, yeah, and there's also a plot. The end.
Who needs a plot anyway?
Well, I will point out that later Terry Pratchett, when he was writing the Discworld, and it got to a point where he was just like, here is the next logical thing that would be invented or would happen to this society, just based on all the other shit I've had happen to them up to this point. And just write that story. Like, well, we have this method of communicating via semaphore. Okay, what is the logical extension of that ability? So I'm a big fan of the sort of logical conclusion, figuring out how to fix something. And that's what draws me to this story.
I agree with that. That seems like where the fun part of the story could be.
I do like the idea of actually fixing the problems that exist instead of sort of magical hand-wavy, the sword said I could do it stuff.
Which is what most fantasy novels start or end with. Like, excellent. I'm king now.
Oh, that's an idea. It's not even an oracle that prophesized all that. It was like the magic weapon in the first place, which was, of course, provided by the rival kingdom.
Watery tart.
Oh. No way for a system of government.
What interest did you have in this Lady of the Lake?
Nothing.
Tell us about the Swamp Tower deal.
Whoa.
Four.
Deep cut.
Anyways, yeah, there are some things to consider there, yeah. Do you guys have any other changes? Pip, do you have any?
Well.
Besides a fop.
And Sally being amazing. More amazing than she clearly already is. I said something earlier about the mentor, and I think I was going to say more about that. Oh, possibly just that he was evil.
Well, yeah.
You know, evil.
Or was just a performer, an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Getting the MCU 10 rings.
yeah.
Ben Kingsley situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember some comic fans got real upset about that, and I was like, nope, that's amazing.
Okay. This is why I like this kind of thing. Okay, so logically, Oryk looks at the situation, he's like, holy shit, I'm fucking this all up. Where did I first get this idea? Let me go find this oracle. And that's,
maybe my mentor can help me.
Uh-huh. Why
are you over there?
Wait, what are you doing in this bar?
What happened to your scar?
divine healing. Oh,
where was that divine healing when this other thing happened and our rogue nearly died?
Listen, it was just spirit gum, kid. Let's see, what else is there?
One of my notes was that, I guess, demons in this story could represent our general perception of the other, quote unquote.
That's kind of edging towards a...
Well, and how?
That's kind of edging towards a fantastical racism there, dude.
What is fantastical racism? Can you define that, Alex?
Using fantasy races as a allegory for, you know, races and is in our world to sugarcoat it in a way.
I will say though that you do have all of these fantasy races being specifically hunted by an inquisitor.
True. Yeah, gonna have to do something about that.
Or you just address it? I don't know.
I mean, you can make it about religion instead.
Oh, that's...
Like, mm-hmm. Not demons. Like, maybe they worship a dark god, like you do.
Like you do.
In fact, maybe the same death god, same death god that Evil Wizard was into. Maybe he was like, maybe the religion took a swing up because of, you know, the way that anytime there's monarchy or nobility, you know, they're like, hey, by the way, my religion's great. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, okay, that seems like a good idea. And now the Inquisitor is showing up being like, we got to stamp out this evil religion, which coincidentally allows you to raise demons.
What? Weird.
And or perform magic or what have you.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, another question for you.
Yep.
When we think of fantasy novels, we generally think of secondary worlds that have magic. However, that is not necessarily the definition of a fantasy novel. It's just a secondary world.
Mm-hmm.
I point this out because the Swords Point series is often is just a secondary world. There's no magic, but it is very clearly fantasy and has been described as such. That's by Ellen Kushner. So the question is there magic in your world? Wait, you already answered this because he pulled up all the magic. Fuck!
And also the evil wizard king.
Mm-hmm. Right in there, Dr. Evil Wizard King.
Esquire.
The third.
Okay, then...
Really sad I couldn't come up with a third or another title to throw in there.
Cum laude.
Doctor of Arts as well, actually. It's got multiple doctors.
DFA.
MSc, that's another one, isn't it?
MBA.
Oh, God. anyway, wow. So... I forgot that he was a wizard and that magic was already part of this. So, never mind. Never mind.
Cat, for the record, this is magic. You know, there is magic.
There is magic?
There is magic.
For the record?
For the record. Okay. On the record.
For the record. Okay. On the record.
This is a fantasy world with magic. It's fantasy magic.
Fantasy magic?
Fantasy magic.
As opposed to other kind of magic.
Yeah. On this world.
Yes, in this world.
Close-up magic.
It's not magic. These are illusions.
He's a prop magician.
Okay. Do I have anything else, you guys?
I'm in love with Sally. I still miss the fop. That's it. That's I have.
Alex, there's the classic question of do you want to write this?
Yeah.
Well, is anything that we've discussed, has this changed anything for you?
I mean, I'm having to change the main character, but... Besides that, nah.
So this has been a useless experience.
Huzzah.
Considering that this was a stream of consciousness writing from the other day, so.
I think it helped you figure out where you were going to go anyway.
Pretty much.
Okay. We were talking and you went, okay, yeah, I see what I'm going to do now.
All right, so.
Which is helpful in its own way.
I think this brings us to our traditional game with any of our works, unless somebody is being super on top of things, which is the title game.
The title.
I think this one already had
did it?
Pretty decent title.
That's not a title. That's a sarcastic little...
Yeah.
I mean, I was about to say, the title of the Google Doc that has all the information in it is Peace Has Been Restored to the Land, which I do think is pretty great.
No, that is a good title. Damn it!
But no, I will say, it's a bit lengthy.
I'm actually super in favor of lengthy titles these days. I'm into it. And
by Foul Boy.
Okay, say that title one more time.
Peace has been restored to the land.
That's so fucking great. Because it's the start and the end of the book.
Ugh. Yeah, no, it's really great.
And it starts as ironic.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Man.
Why am I so good at titles?
So, do we just want to play a different game then?
Hey, I guess.
Guys, can you do better?
No. It's nope. Really good. No.
Super good.
Sorry, guys.
Also, it's a little funny if you think about it, because it starts opposite, so like it gets in the humor thing that you were talking
it's
about.
It's got layers.
Like a goddamn onion.
Or a parfait.
Parfait. Oh, all right, God. Do we have another game?
Any other that works?
Evil Overlord's kind of classic.
Oh, me. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Kind of on the nose.
Wait, which one's that one?
Evil Overlord was on the on-the-fly plot changes based on a random trope.
Oh, okay. Oh, I like that one. Let's do that.
I got one. the first one is so appropriate.
Oh, my God. I'm keeping this one because Pippin will be happy.
Woohoo! Although this is kind of what already happened. I need to go first because I need to figure out whether or not I need to re-roll it. So the trope I got on TV Tropes, it's the only way to be sure.
Which is?
It's the trope where the only way to really solve the problem is to essentially bomb the crap out of it. The quote comes from, you gotta nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Oh, from Aliens.
Nice.
So, but the thing is, that's kind of how the prelude of this happened, right?
Do it again, yeah. Sam.
I mean, I guess if we were to do it again, then Mav, as the leader of a resistance movement, essentially destroys the palace, and it's the only way to be sure to get rid of this now kind of relatively evil hero. I don't know.
I mean, it could also have a nice bit of narrative circularity.
Ah, true. A catastrophic event started these events. Now it finishes it.
Side note, I'm really proud that I remembered the phrase narrative circularity.
Nice. Or the reason the other country is interested in this country is, as you may recall, the mineral rights or whatever. Well, what if you fucking got rid of the minerals?
Nuke the minerals!
Yeah, but like, what if you can magic the minerals away and be like, fuck it, we need food more than we need rocks, let's go. And then suddenly it's like, oh, you want that valley full of mines? Sure. Go ahead. Have it.
They're now just full of rock. Regular rock. The shit rock. Not even and the stuff of you can make stuff out of rock.
Was it real cream cheese? Was it like cream cheese?
Alternatively, it's like one of those magic materials where like, maybe they do like some awesome magic spell and it's like, hey, you guys wanted this magic rock? You got it.
You want this?
We teleported it, all of it, to your palace.
Go get it.
Oh, it's unstable in air, by the way.
It's gonna explode, like, super much.
Pretty much.
But meanwhile, you've already left our lands and signed a treaty, and we've meanwhile developed new relationships with every other country that also hates you. The end.
Huzzah.
Where did you teleport the triple?
I kind of like the idea of magicking
the
magical ore. And it explodes.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Exploding is pretty great. And this story was lacking explosions. I'll say that.
I'll try to add more explosions in my future stories, Kat.
Thank you.
Yeah, Al, get on that.
All right, so Pip, your turn.
Well, I also went to TV Tropes. And the first thing I got, I'm not sure is going to work because it seems kind of small, is Super Breath.
What?
Just... and the ability to expel large amounts of air from one's mouth.
Alright.
Examples from, like, Superman. See, it's really boring.
Okay, alright. No, we can work with this. We can work with this. No. Okay, yeah. So Auric, surprise, surprise, does have a power.
Well,
he's not just a farm boy.
Well, he is able to...
He's full of hot air.
Well, he was able to use, you know, magic, like, to, you know, call on the land to,
Yes.
So.
He's the Avatar.
He wasn't actually flying. He was just puffing at the ground real hard.
Oh, puffed and he puffed.
That is a hilarious magic power. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, you know.
I mean, that's better than what I was thinking, where, like, it turns out Sally this entire time had the ability to do, like, Arctic super breath or something.
Yes.
I mean, she does. You can't prove otherwise.
There are so many things she can do, but she chooses not to.
She has that choice, and she is full of agency, and I love her, too.
Living her best life.
She's the best.
All right, so mine is the 19th century character trope generator. And
You find the weirdest shit.
It's so great. But Pip, the reason that you were going to be really into it was that, as I recall, it was like some kind of French aristocrat with 2,000 pounds a year.
Oh, shit, I do love him.
Yeah, he was a fop, man. He was a fop.
With 2,000 a year, I mean,
okay,
not
so
a lot, but we can manage.
Here's what it is, though. You know who that is, though? That's more than what Auric has. This guy, I'm going to name him Percy. Percy is actually part of the retinue from the, or he was part of the court under the evil wizard king. And he is a, you know, he's a
courtier,
a town clown. He's a courtier. Thank you. He exists to hang around and be like pretty.
He does it well.
But here's the thing. There's been a change in regime. Now Auric's in charge. What's Percy to do? Hang around and be pretty around Auric. But.
And then they make out?
But Percy has, you know, he's seen what things are like. You know, he knows how the court works. Auric super doesn't. Percy has not yet become completely jaded. So he's like, well, damn it, I gotta help this dork. And from there, I'm sorry, we have to remove the bar and everything. Because this becomes a story about a king getting secret lessons on how to be a king from his courtier, and hilarity and hijinks ensue, and then they make out and fall in love. The end. Oh, and somebody tries to attack, but thanks to all the lessons of how to be smart and kingly, Auric saves the day, and then he's like, but the real hero here is Percy, and then draws him up, shows him to the people, and then they make out.
And the ladies take to their hand and then smile. And smile.
Yeah, they did.
Oh.
That's my story, thank you. There's a fop, and I made it gay.
It's everything I ever wanted.
I know!
Cat.
Yeah.
Percy
yeah.
can still take Igork to the bar, slumming it.
So, that's a very good point.
Let me show you my world.
Where he came from. He didn't always used to have 2,000 a year. He got that by hook or by crook. Percy's a smart cookie. And he senses that same kind of go-gettingness in Auric. And something else besides. All right, that's me.
And now it's my turn once again. I got pirates.
Oh, nice.
Nice? What? Fucking pirates.
How come you get pirates? I got stuff with stupid super breath.
Well, because you didn't lie fast enough.
God damn it.
You should. I mean, Pip.
Oh, yeah, I definitely clicked the first one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now,
super breath. Yeah.
My plot generator is the tough guy to a fantasy land and a roll a die.
Very nice.
And, you know, so pirates. So you know now that it is Dr. Evil Wizard King Esquire the Fur.
Retired.
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 Scourge of the Seas. The dread Dr. Evil Wizard King Esquire the Fur. MBA, a PhD.
Parentheses retired.
Parentheses
His original name was Ryan.
Okay, so, how do pirates get involved here?
Like they always do, they just sort of show up.
I was supposed to say, fuck it, this is not a country, this is not a palace, this is the sea.
Tis the sea. And so the insert fantasy name here is now, you know, the dread pirate fleet of...
Nice.
I'm just going to say Zalbeck.
oh my god, there's a mutiny, Auric's in charge now, but he was just like, he wasn't even a sailor, he was a fucking passenger.
He's Guybrush.
What?
Guybrush Threepwood.
Who?
From the Monkey Island game series.
All right. Games, you say?
Don't worry, Kat. I'm with you on this one.
Thank you.
It's a classic adventure game.
So, and they were pirates, sure, but they were privateers, they called themselves.
Nice.
And now Zolrik's a broken man on a Halifax pier.
The last of Barrett's privateers.
Okay, I'm not going to start a shanty. I'm not going to start a shanty nope. thing. It's not nope, happening. Nope. All right, so Alex.
Yeah.
So Alex, is that it for you?
I mean, what else do you need than pirates?
I have zero regrets.
Yeah. I admit it might be a little bit more manageable to write that story than to write the big epic fantasy, but that might just be me.
Kat, can you still have the fob as a pirate?
Yeah, of course.
Have you seen the shorts they wear?
True. So, is he a...
The shantyman. The fop is the shantyman.
Or is he a captured noble that they're planning to ransom at some point, but they keep on forgetting to...
Yes!
But they keep on forgetting to.
Most likely kill you in the morning.
Yes! That's what he is. Anyway, I think that one's a little bit more manageable, but again, that's if I was writing it.
Right. Well, that's it from me.
Any other thoughts, guys, about the story at large before we sign off?
I like it.
I don't think I've mentioned it enough.
Oh, God.
I'm in love with Sally.
I like this story.
And now she's a pirate.
Oh, yeah!
Yarr.
Living her best life. Her best pirate life.
I like this story. I hope you do write it.
I do, too.
Maybe. Someday.
All right.
Oh, okay. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at NoStoryIsSacred or send an email through contact@NoStoryIsSacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at NoStoryIsSacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. And please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. See you next time when we talk about the 1997 movie, The Fifth Element. Until then, where no story is sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Pippin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Brendan.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.